Hello and good morning, I'm Douglas Bowles, and this is 42 Minutes, a production of Syncbook Radio and distributed by thesyncbook.com. You can find us online at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at Sync42 and at Syncbook. Today is the 23rd day of June, 2015, and this is our 190th broadcast. Although I believe we'll be holding on to this one for a few days and releasing a Denver bonus show today. As far as the world goes, look at the work you do and then inspect your fears and make sure that you aren't creating the very thing that you're fighting against. It's 2015, remember, our shadow year, the year of the goat. In other news, Syncbook Press has a new title by Swami Antanandagiri slated for release mid-July. Look for that. The Last Member Hangout is now available in the Syncbook Plus member section on the web. Our next hangout, our moon landing, will be July 20th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Of course, it might all be fake. Become a member if you'd like to participate. Not sure how? thesyncbook.com/membership. It has all the answers. Speaking of answers, are you aware of the Modern Knowledge 2015 Summer Tour featuring Marty Leeds and Alex Gray? It will be all over Canada in August. Check it out, modernknowledge.ca. And as for us, we are busy prepping for Super Normal July. But today we're going beyond the Matrix, and we'll do so with the host of Metatron's Reality Hour, Zach Tron. Hey, Will Morgan, who is this Zach Bauer, and how is it that he ended co-hosting with you last week on today's Denver Boners 42 Minutes that you produced?
Well, I guess you should tell me, Douglas, because that was just, as far as I know, a happy accident. Well, Zach Bauer is a local sync head that I actually get to hang out with now. I've always wanted one of my very own. He was introduced to me when I went to go meet Frater X here in Denver when Frater was hanging around these parts for a minute. And just recently, like you said, we did a show that was all it was the Free Your Mind meetup that we met at was organized by these certain individuals that we interviewed because we wanted to head back into community, and you decided that it would be awesome to have a full Colorado show. So that's where Zach was.
Zach, did he meet you at the Free Your Mind concert? Will told me the synchronicity about you were the Guitar Center guy who sold him his microphone.
Yeah. So I think we had met prior a few times without really putting two and two together. And I don't know if I had even quite gotten my little hands on SyncBook and SyncBook Radio. Just funny. I've met so many people through that, kind of vein there at Guitar Center. But, we met at this place in Denver called the Mercury Cafe, which was, after the Free Your Mind Colorado meetup. And, I was walking by and I had watched some of the video from the Olympia Sync Summit, so I knew what Will looked like, and I was walking by and I'm like, hey, that looks like Will Morgan, and I kind of whispered in Freighter X's ear like, hey, is that Will? And then he's like, all right, let's go over there.
That's interesting. Did you know Freighter X as a media figure? So that's funny that Will is also a media figure before he becomes your friend.
Right. Well, here's what's really funny. I guess I found out about Freighter X through Freeman, and I'd found out about Freeman through a guy that came in to Guitar Center and bought some stuff from me to start a podcast. And the guy, I ended up doing a little bit of work consulting with him outside of Guitar Center, which is kind of my other side gig, and teaching him what's up with the microphones and the technology that you need to do this type of thing. And he had told me that there is a guy I needed to meet named Freeman, and that we would be great friends. Ended up checking his stuff out, and then found out about Freighter X, and we ended up talking with each other, and I ended up helping him, kind of get into a microphone, and the rest is history, I guess.
But I mean, up until past that point, Zach and I have had quite a few adventures. He was actually the one who went up with me to go watch the film by Rodney Asher in Estes Park. I needed somebody to help with gas and just to keep me company, because that's quite a drive. And so we got to know each other a lot during that little excursion, for sure.
That was a fun drive. Yeah, it was. The whole thing was ridiculous.
It was out of control. Like, everything that we were talking about ended up happening there, but also the whole we were standing in line. We had a little bit of a confusion on what line we were supposed to be in, and all of a sudden one of Zach's friends recognized him. I guess one of Zach's friends was actually volunteering at the film festival.
Yeah, he kind of set it up, I think. He has a big deal to do with it, and oddly enough, he actually runs the atomic clock, this guy.
What is that?
Oh.
The atomic clock is in Boulder. And
right.
That's the clock that they base all of time on. So Father Time let us know the right line to be in and told us about a celebrity that was there.
Yeah, he was like, Elijah Woods, he's not going to every show, but you might see him around here. He's just hanging around. He's really, like, approachable and nice and everything. And then once we get in there, we just kind of put that off to the side, and we were just sitting there chit-chatting, and kind of there's a little bit of buzz and energy in the room because we're not really aware of what we're going to be seeing here. I mean, it was kind of anticipation. It was weird because the line curved, and right when the line curved on the part of the line that we were at, which was going into the building, Rodney Asher just happened to be walking by. So it was like, oh, hey, Rodney, I'm Will. Nice to meet you, Will. Blah, blah, blah. It was like perfect timing all the way around. And then to find two seats that were together was a little bit of an issue. So we had to walk around the little auditorium that they had set up. And they had set it up in like it was a room that they usually use for like weddings and things of that nature. Yeah. But they had blackened out all of the walls and had put a movie screen and put these little makeshift little seats for everyone. And so we found a seat. We sat down. We're sitting there chit-chatting. We're kind of stretching out and getting comfortable. And then the guy in front of me bends down, and there's Elijah Woods and or Elijah Wood. And immediately, like, point at him, like, bow, like, just totally obnoxious, like, hey, I know you.
Right.
And then we avoided eye contact the whole rest of the time. But it was... I mean, it was an interesting thing because Zach and I, you know, kept comparing Goosebumps the whole time because there was like a physical reaction that our bodies were having to the showing. So it was interesting because it's like, oh, did you see that? Did you catch right. that? What the hell was up with that? Weren't we just talking about that? We were talking about the whole influence of like aliens and media and stuff like that and how media defines our perception of aliens and so forth. And then that's like what the show's about. But it was completely unintentional and completely no way we could have known that that movie was going to have that in there.
Right.
So it was just kind of creepy the whole time. So the whole ride up, that's what we're talking about. The whole ride back, we're talking about, oh my God, everything we talked about was in the movie. So. But yeah, since then, I mean, Zach and I have also like experimented making music together and stuff of that nature because he's kind of like the producer that I've always looked for.
And then, hey, I just pop up. That's how it's supposed to work out, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so then the occult. Is this something you've always been interested in, Zach, or is this something that just really came upon you like in the last year or so?
Oh gosh, it's something I've been interested in some time. My father passed when I was rather young, and as a result, my brother, who was going to school up in Greeley, he had introduced me to this late night radio show because it was a way for us to kind of have a common thing to discuss. And I started listening to Coast back when it was Art Bell. And actually, me and my brother ended up going out to Barnes & Noble for a book signing at one point and meeting Art, which was that was a whole nother thing, man. I'd never seen so many like the people in line, like some of them literally had like some tinfoil hats, like, and crazy devices that they were wearing. It was ridiculous. So I've come at it from a very kind of skeptical perspective, but it's something that's interested me, and you know, paranormal and UFO and the occult. And it's only in the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years that I've had a better understanding of occult and the true meaning of occult, which is just hidden. But it's definitely not something that I've just jumped into, although.
But as far as becoming entangled in our web,
yeah,
I mean, even so, like, even Freeman and Freighter X are kind of, there's this. It's not strictly conspiracy, but there's this web of alternative research that, I mean, so both Freeman and Freeter X are in Sync Book 2,
right? Which I'm a proud owner of.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then did you get those before or after you met Will?
I got those before. Probably a good, maybe almost year before.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. Welcome.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
Is that what inspired you what inspired you to start your own show?
I'd been wanting to do some sort of coast-to-coast type of radio music thing of some form of another for probably 10 years and something that I talked about and, hey, I want to do this. And it wasn't until I went out to Philadelphia in April for the Free Your Mind conference that I was really just, hey, let's do it. I just decided to go for it and was really inspired and felt like there was no reason that I shouldn't do it, and felt like, yeah, there's nothing holding me back. I have the technology through 6 years of working at Guitar Center. I built up my studio and have everything I need to do it, and plenty to talk about. And so that was a huge kind of just push, you know, right off the cliff.
And then how can our listeners find your show?
Well, I've got it up on the iTunes database, as well as Stitcher and TalkShoe. So I've really just been doing it by the seat of my pants, and I haven't done a new episode in a few weeks because I've been trying to knock out this album, which has been a musical endeavor that I've been working on about the last 5-6 years, even on some of the songs. But I went through and re-recorded those and got some assistance from another Guitar Center buddy. I actually helped him get the job there, but he played drums on a few of the tracks on the album. But yeah, it's the show has been fun, and I think it's something that will evolve and change, and I don't want to be locked into any kind of one thing. So I'm excited to really kind of expand and get some other guests in. One that I'm looking forward to is with my physics teacher in high school, honors physics teacher. And he is an interesting guy because he has gotten a check back from the power company since the 90s, the late 90s, because he's got solar and wind. Yeah. There was one year he took a Lamborghini with the class and they converted it. It's like an old messed up Lamborghini. They had the body and had to come up with a lot of stuff, but they converted it into a solar powered electric Lamborghini. So that he's you know, just people like that. I feel like there's and a lot of the same guests recycling, and there's for good reason on some of those. But I'm just excited to talk to people and really relate across a broad spectrum of individuals. You know,
are you from Denver your whole life? Is this a teacher that you?
Yeah, he's in Golden, Colorado here.
And for our international listeners who might not be as familiar with the West, Denver, Golden, Boulder, Estes Park, are these all relatively close or like a couple hours away?
They are. I'd say, you know, from Golden to Boulder, that's a good 45 minutes. Denver is about 15 minutes away. It's a big urban sprawl, but I've been here my entire life, save for a couple years when I moved down to Texas after I had my son. And I came back here after a short while, and I had really missed it. And I just have a lot of history and a lot of great friends here, and it's beautiful and sunny, and I'm happy to call it home.
In my early sync work, I used to think about the individuals and where they live, how that communicates something, the land actually communicates something through their actual like archetype. Do you think there's something unique about the people who are from or live in the Mountain West?
Yeah.
Does Will still have a South flavor, or is he picking up on our Mountain West vibe?
He's definitely kind of – You've assimilated into the Colorado way, I guess.
Colorado way.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the way up to Estes, weren't we? The vibe that a certain place can carry, and
there's definite vibes. There's definite vibes about And the reason we were talking about that is because we had to go from where we had to go from like Golden to Boulder to Estes Park. And there's like there's a power coming up over the hill and seeing the valley of Boulder below with the Flatirons in the background and knowing what's there and who's been there. And the fact that it's a college town carries a certain amount of baggage with. I mean, that's like part of the beat road. Boulder is. And so you can feel like the presence of this expanded consciousness through like Bob Dylan or something like that. And Golden's the same way. There's so many beings who have gone through Colorado on their way out to California that carries something with it, I think.
Hey, this is funny. My mom runs a bed and breakfast in Golden. I had grown up in the house, and it was an old Victorian house. And the lady that used to own the house would and I'm using quotes here, have tea is the nice way they put it. But William Cody, who is also better known as Buffalo Bill, mm-hmm. would come over and have tea with the lady that owned the house, which, you know, that was his
euphemism?
Mistress.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a funny history, and you have a lot of weird, high weirdness, I guess,
right.
too.
Unsinkable Molly Brown's house is really close to where we are too. So there's like layers and layers.
Oh,
of kind
okay.
Of...
So now I'm starting to get some sync together today. Thank you. So Unsinkable Molly Brown, she was portrayed by, I'm not going to remember her name.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah, in Titanic. And James Horner, he died yesterday, I think. He was in a small plane, and he crashed. And so so that's interesting to me that would come up.
He did the soundtrack, right?
Right, exactly.
Wow.
It seems like you're a big sinker with Titanic, but that's just my opinion, Douglas. But
it's part of my architectural web.
It's funny because, like I said, Zach and I, he lives in Golden. However, I live in Arvada, and it was weird because I was worried about. I went over there one evening, and we were, you know, having a late night session in the studio, and then. On the way back, I'm like, shit, it's midnight. This is going to take me a drive to get back. So I, you know, asked my cell phone to
drive like 15 minutes or 45 minutes.
Well, this is what I was worried about. I didn't know if it was going to take a long time or, I mean, the roads through Golden and the back part of Arvada are kind of like steel cow pastures and stuff. So there's no like direct route. So I was a little bit worried. I was like, it's midnight. I'm tired. How long is this drive going to be? So I asked my cell phone to get me home, and it ended up being like a 5-10 minute drive. We were like on the same road. It's just and it's weird because the actual area that I'm in was one of my first confirmations that I should be in like the sync community. Was when, you know, I had discovered Jake Kotze and everything, and I'm reading all of his blog. And then once I finish his blog, I look over and there's like this thing called the Synchrosphere. He has all these links to all these other blogs. And when I hit that, that was the time period was right when there was the Faith Bible Chapel shootings, which you might not remember, but somebody had shot up a church in Colorado Springs and then driven all the way up to Denver and shot up the sister church that was here.
In Arvada, right?
Right. In fact, at the end of my block, Faith Bible Chapel's right around the corner. And so when I had turned that on, when I had turned that particular blog on, somebody had analyzed all of the Ralston Valley area like symbolism about it going into Golden and what they called the Golden Gate and all of this about how you can't make this stuff up. It's a Stargate symbolism and blah, 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 blah. And at one point I was like, that's just right outside my door. Do you know what I mean? That's just like right here. I'm right there. And they're like adding on all of this extra meaning about stuff that we kind of take for granted to a large extent. But yeah, we ended up being a lot closer than I could have expected, which, and like when we initially met and in the Mercury Cafe downtown when I went to go meet Fratter, it was, hey, man, where do you work? Oh, crap, we've met before. We had ended up having contact and recognized each other for quite a while.
Right.
And when you put my name in, like when you go to Guitar Center and you put your name in, you have to say like Will Morgan, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, I just thought it was a different Will Morgan.
Right.
But, you know, we've talked about your show and you've talked a little bit about how you've put it on
hiatus. No, wait, you opened a can of worms, Will.
Oh, okay, go for it, Douglas.
Columbine is kind of in your neighborhood, right?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And then also South Park, that's kind of that world, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
And then was it, which summer was it, the red-haired kid? That was
Aurora.
Aurora. Okay. Are you guys ready to have your minds blown?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll work back. So with the Aurora shooting, a good friend of mine who had actually moved away and he was visiting family, he came back and they decided to go see The Dark Knight in Aurora. So he was actually there. It was, I think, gosh, I think I can't remember how much late. I was out late that night at this local bar, and he had come out to the bar after, I guess, being in the hospital because he got grazed by a bullet in the whole thing.
Jesus.
And then, so working back, a guy that I worked with at a windows and siding place, he went to that Faith Bible Church, and he was there for that.
Wow.
And then taking it back to, what was it, 2099? Whenever.
I'd say 90. Columbine was either, it was in 98, 99?
Yeah. Maybe it was 98. But I had briefly seen and kind of like been like briefly introduced to Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold through this person that went to my school that was in theater. And that was kind of the way the connection was made, but it was some house party and they were there. So,
okay. So
April 20th, 1999.
Okay.
Do you have any sense, being both synchromistics and people with an eye towards conspiracy, that any of those are media manipulations, that those weren't actually what they were reported? You know what? Like, they weren't real. They were crisis actors is the new Vogue term that they're using.
Right. I mean, something happened.
People really died.
Yeah.
Dude, just because we're close to the actual event doesn't mean that we got our information from any other source than what everyone else did. And
sure.
The thing, and then it gets really foggy.
Okay, so you're still open to the idea that things aren't as they seem, Will Morgan.
Always.
Okay, because so the interesting thing to me is this idea that there in Denver there's a lot of military industrial complex, yeah?
Oh, definitely.
So, like, the weapons industry, and so that's where you have, like, this repression that pops, like, from a psychological standpoint, that maybe, you know, the truth about America is that we are the bad guy. You know, Darth Vader, the Death Star, moving through the world, enforcing our way upon, you know, to maintain the order that we are so accustomed to the Empire, that it takes some brutality, and that sometimes this brutality pops in place, because it seems like Denver is like, there is a lot of tragedy.
Well, we talked about this. We talked about this with Lauren Coleman. It seems like the shootings that create trends are the ones that happen in Colorado for sure. The groundbreakers happen in Colorado, and then they're copycatted throughout, like the Aurora shooting and like Columbine. Those are two of the biggest ones, of course. But those, it's not limited to that at all.
Well, so what is, you know, what's really fascinating to me, and I guess I kind of realized this after the last hangout, and then when I was talking to Alan trying to process what was going on in the world, is, Will, do you remember who lives in Charleston, South Carolina?
Well, it depends on, what do you mean? You mean...
I mean, we did a pretty big show on Charleston, South Carolina, right?
Well, yeah. You mean Kel?
Yeah.
John Kel? Yeah. Well, are you saying that the...
I'm not saying they have anything to do with one another.
I'm just saying, from a synchronistic standpoint,
the idea that...
You mean the structure of the city has something to do with what's going on?
No, not the structure of the city. The structure of the attitudes.
Ah.
As being, Kale being the lead promotional marketer for the Red Ice Complex, it's just fascinating to me that eruption happens there.
Yeah, I know. I see exactly what you're saying. That's super interesting.
Well, the thing is like, okay, so you have to take into account the history of Charleston, too. Like we talked about with Kale, Charleston is like the center of the Revolutionary War. It was the center of the Civil War. Do you get what I'm saying? There's so much history.
Are you saying that so he is
mentally
trying to, like, so symbolically?
He was trying to start a new Civil War is what the guy was trying to do.
But then it's also 2015, Year of the Goat, Shadow. It's a shadow year, and so you're either integrating your shadow or fighting against your shadow. Like, that's the thing that continually haunts me, is that when we see these media reports of, so how do you define yourself? If you're defining yourself, I am not that, and you're responding to what you're trying to purge from yourself. It's like, I'm not this.
Apathetically defining.
Right. Instead of saying, this is me, you're saying, I am not this, and I want this out. You know, like, it's almost denial. That is another way of, like, dealing with your shadow, the shadow dance.
Well, I mean, there's also a little bit of coding in, say, April 20th. Okay, so April 19th, April 20th are these big dates because so much happened on them, right? For instance, the beginning of the Revolutionary War that I was just talking about, which started in Charleston, was on April 19th. April 20th is Hitler's birthday. April 20th was the Columbine massacres.
And then 420 in Colorado, right?
Right, 420 in Colorado.
But is there any connection between...
But 421 is seen to be a symbol of joy. So there's this contradiction of... I mean, they...
But I've said for years that, you know, like Marlon Brando is one of the premier archetypes of Jupiter, and then he's also the Godfather. You know,
right.
It's like, it's the Overlook Hotel, which is also in Colorado. It's like,
well, you can't
to maintain the order, you have to, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and you have to do what it takes, and all the secrets are in the basement. You know, it's the horror. Oh, my God, the horror. When he goes downstairs and sees the machinery to make society go.
So there's this balance that you have to reach where it doesn't really matter if everything is, like, orchestrated, like you said, with... crisis actors or blah 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 blah, because even if not, that it is orchestrated by the shadow, there's like some shadow work being done whenever these big events happen. And so if it's not by this massive controlling Illuminati, then it is by the subconscious, the unconscious, as sort of like pushing the evolution of what we can take or what we can, or the actual issues that we're discussing. I mean, right now, the big issue and the big discussion, is, as far as I can see everywhere, is this flag, pulling down the Confederate flag off of Charleston and everything. And if you think that they should, but it, really and truly, like the swastika in and of itself, is does the swastika stand for Nazi? Or, I mean, the Nazis adopted a symbol, correct? So it's not really like a symbol... That came later. So where do you draw the line?
Right there we see a distortion in reality, because the Confederate flag, to my knowledge, wasn't actually the Confederate flag, at least what we see. It was the Virginia like battle flag.
Right. And nearly all the state flags have it in there, too, with is like Mississippi, Alabama, I think, right. South Carolina. I mean, because first off, to think that the South was organized during the Civil War is someone who's confused about the issues. They didn't even have uniforms often enough. It was ragtag and whatever was available. I mean, they were shooting out of chicken coops. So it wasn't like the American flag that flew over the Union Army and was organized and supplied and dressed appropriately. Not to say that they didn't have hardships, of course, but it was not organized. They didn't fly all up underneath the same flag. And so it was a symbol. I mean, how do you take it out on a symbol? But at the same time, if you raise that flag, and a certain amount of people are going to go up underneath that flag. Do you know what I mean? So it's I don't know if I agree with taking the flag down. In other words, I think.
Oh, that's interesting, huh? I mean, symbols definitely have power, lots of power, and the patriarchy is.
But so does a security blanket. I mean, look, when you're a kid and you have a security blanket and you're like, you can't sleep without the security
blanket. Okay, so you brought up the idea that the swastika doesn't have the power that we've put the power into it?
It's a security blanket. It has no life outside of what we give it.
But exactly, but at the same time, it communicates very loudly. The swastika communicates very loudly. And so does the Confederate flag at this point, especially if – I mean, it does seem like this is one of those years where we're trying to come to terms with what it is to be a human and the idea of hierarchy, right. And also like superiority, you know, who – we're really sorting some deep stuff out and – like we talk about that, like the people with the so I always mention the idea of psychic weather, where the universe moves through and pushes everyone's buttons in the same way at the same time, and how we respond is up to each person, but oftentimes we respond very similarly. And so it seems like the people with the thinnest filters, especially like schizophrenics and stuff, is when the psychic weather gets really bad, that's when we see a lot of these eruptive moments.
They're like taking over by the subconscious to actually perform a certain suppressed action. And that's just it. Like, if you take down the flag, you're just suppressing that more. And all you're going to do is create a bigger shadow.
But if...
Because people are going to...
If the flag is saying, hey, we're better than you, which is kind of what the symbol says, hey, we're better than you, and you're not going to... Don't you dare forget that we're better than you.
Well, no, but see, that's just it. That's not what the Confederate... Okay, so there's this whole argument that I've been having on Facebook right now that the Civil War was about slavery. That's not why the Civil War started. The Civil War started because of slave rights. To think that the South was more racist than the North is insane. It's insane. That whole time period was brutal, and the racism was probably as equal on both sides. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that slavery, you know, I'm not apologizing for the South or anything like that, but we hang these things, like we hang it on Hitler. Hitler was no more racist than the whole rest of the world at that time. Look what the United States did to Japan or the Japanese that were inside their borders. Or look what, you know, the...
It's
the,
true, but there's...
No, we have hung...
It's true by degree. Like, that's the thing. It's true by degree. So...
Both people
we
who...
We put Japanese in internment camps in Idaho. But we didn't... The United States didn't kill them.
Look what the Japanese
did to Chinese. In Hawaii, where they
were
actually necessary to make the society go, they didn't put them in camps, even though that was the front line of the actual war.
And there was no way that the camps were anything close to. I mean,
that's
most
right.
most Germans who were POWs and who were sent to the middle of America and held in these camps actually, after the war ended, went back, got their families, and brought them back to the United States because they were more well fed and everything here in the camps than they actually were being soldiers in the German army, and the living was better here. So there's no way I'm saying that especially America was brutal or anything of that nature. I mean, even these people who try to apologize for Hitler aren't saying that America raped and pillaged all of these
but
people.
But when you have a loud Russian symbol, people. that's the only thing I'm saying. Hitler is a loud symbol. The swastika is a loud symbol. This Confederate flag, it's...
Yeah, but the Confederate flag
stands
for
less about
slavery.
Heritage and more about... Don't you forget.
Afterwards. Well, after the fact.
Boy.
I'm sorry. I got to get in here because both the swastika and the Confederate flag, they're crosses essentially, right? You got a cross. It's some sort of like solar thing going on. You got the stars on the Confederate flag. And then, you know, along with what you're saying, Doug, with the psychic weather, psychic climate, it's like the psychic space weather. You know, and we're all under the same sun here, but we're each picking up different bits of radiation. We're each picking up different fields of other individuals, and it's you know, all these different perspectives. None of them are true, and all of them are true at the same time. But depending on the observer, and depending on I'm getting off on a weird tangent here.
No, you're on to something though. But I mean, like, the shadow comes from the sun, right?
Right.
You can't. Right. So
exactly. No, that's what. That's kind of where I was going when in my head with it. It's yeah.
Well, we
and
have.
Then, and then we're in, you know, in Colorado here, where we get 300 days of sunshine. We got the sun on our flag.
Right. But we also have like the Illuminati eyeball on our like state seal and stuff.
Sure.
It's weird.
You know, we were talking about the yellow brain earlier.
Yeah.
And yellow, you know, like the yellow submarine or the, you know, it is the color of psychosis, right?
Right. Nice. So.
We're just about out of time. You
so
need
we
to tell
to
us about your album, Zach.
Right.
And
thank
tell us
you.
Where we can get the album.
Yeah, by the time this airs, this should be available on Bandcamp, iTunes, everywhere where you find stuff. And I think, you know, if you want to pick it up, Bandcamp is going to be the most help to me. I'm going to, I also have a SoundCloud, which is SoundCloud / Zachtron, and I'll have a smattering of the tracks up there as well. But it's been a lot of fun putting together. I'm playing piano and keyboard and virtual instruments and guitar and bass and drums on some of the tracks and singing on everything. So coming out of touring for years and years and really having a falling out with a lot of flaky musicians and really just wanting to focus on my own creative mission there and not really having anyone to tell me they didn't like the idea. It was really an interesting, fun thing. And I started like recording on a cassette player when I was, I guess like 7 years old, and I'd put it in the record side and get another tape and flip the tape and record on there and overdub with an acoustic guitar and singing through like a fan. I don't know if you've ever heard that effect when you're singing through a fan there and just experimenting. And this has really just been a continuation of that. It's been a lifelong thing, but I got so hung up on the details on a lot of these tracks. It took a lot longer than a lot of the projects because I really wanted it to be as good as it could possibly be. I don't like the idea of doing anything half-assed. So it was a labor of love and lots of listening. And I had to take a break from these tracks and really step away once I recorded everything to really be able to have fresh ears on it. Cause a lot of these, just a lot of work put into it.
Well, I got no way. You're not getting away from that, Douglas. You're not. that's too easy for you because I sampled the album. Did you sample the album?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we got it.
Tell. I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, it's hard because when you first hear an artist, all you can do is compare it to the things that you know before. It's almost like the way our brains work is to understand something, we have to take it apart and understand it in terms of things that we already understand.
Sure.
So by just tasting it, it has a real fun 60s-ish flavor to me.
Neo-psychedelia?
Yeah. I mean, it feels loose and it feels good.
Well, I hope coming from a sunny state that it sounds warm.
The sun, yeah. That's a good qualifying word because it does feel bright.
Awesome. Now that was 42 minutes. Thanks, Zach, for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Zach Bauer on SyncBook Radio, a production of thesyncbook.com. Information about his work can be found at... Actually, would you explain where your Bandcamp is?
Well, it's going to be searchable just by my name, Zach Bauer, on Bandcamp there. And then same thing on iTunes, wherever.
And your show can be found at TalkShoe up underneath Metatron's Reality Hour, correct?
You got it.
You've been listening to him on SyncBook Radio, a production of SyncBook.com. For more information about 42 Minutes, our SyncBook, our guest, to check out past shows, to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thesyncbook.com. If you like this podcast and would like more, consider becoming a SyncBook Plus member. Some of the membership benefits include full access to the complete audio archives, discounts on books, behind-the-scenes scripts, bonus audio and video, as well as monthly online hangouts with the host. All this and more can be found at thesyncbook.com/membership. Thanks so much. And remember, do not forget where you put the keys to your spacecraft. The snow is coming down, and if you're not careful, you're gonna be out of town. It's coming down harder every second that I speak. You don't